I'm trying to introduce myself and meet as many of you guys as you can. My name's Nick. I pastor in Great Falls, Montana, and originally from Long Beach, California. And I got my doctorate, five years ago with some pretty crazy people, a guy named Roland Baker who oversees Iris Ministries, and I work for a guy named Randy Clark. And we put together what's called CPCP, Christian Prophetic Certification Program. So I help people introduce people to hearing the voice of God. But this is on healing, and it's part of our heritage for healing. We live in a culture where we see miracles on a regular basis. And if I talk about healing, I think I got to go back before ESPN. ABC had a sports show called Wide World of Sports. Anybody remember that? And I love the intro on that. It would start off like, you know, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, right? And you see this guy biffing down the ski slope and you're just praying, thank you, Jesus, that's not me. And healing is somewhat like that. If you're committed to a healing ministry, hopefully they will have some tools to give you and some theology and how that rolls. But you got to be committed to it. And one of the things I always say is, listen, if you get in your identity and how many people get healed, then you need to get an identity or take credit when people don't get healed, because it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. You'll see people get healed, and it's amazing. In our church in Montana, we regularly see people get healed. We've seen people out of wheelchairs. I got a guy who was deaf. His name is Josh Garega. He hears today. I always mess with Josh because I'll come up to him like, he'll be like, stop that, Pastor Nick. You're not funny. I'm healed in Jesus' name. And we see stage four, it's cancer heals so much that the oncologists, the cancer doctors refer people to us. It's just kind of cool. I'd like to say like that was the beginning of my ministry, but it's probably been more like a continual thing. It's not a person. It's just you saying, I'm going to get into this thing. I'm going to do it. So many times we're event-oriented, like we want an event. We want to bring somebody in to do things. I've never seen it flourish in an event, but I've seen it flourish in culture. And so you got to be committed to this culture and pastoring these people. Sometimes in the culture of the prophetic, you get some UFOs, right? And you got to be willing to get through that and do that stuff. So I want to flow a few videos for you guys. The first one is just a Foursquare camp. I want to show you this because it involves a couple of different things. This is actually here in Washington a couple of years ago. And this is a young girl who I prayed for, and word of knowledge, and I'll talk about word of knowledge and how that intervenes and how that works along the side of healing. Jesus rules 27:12. That's Montana. And that girl to the left is a girl who was at a Foursquare camp, and I want you guys to hear this, because sometimes you pray for people, you don't know what happened to them, where they've been, what happened after you pray. And this is a girl I want to pray for you, and there we go. It's really good with sound. If you're a lip reader, you can read this right now. No, we had it working beforehand. All right, so we're not going to do videos. Let me just tell you about this one because it's a good one. This is a girl at camp. I had a word of knowledge. We're walking down the road. I stop and I said, hey, did you break your hip when you were 8 years old? Word of knowledge, right? Hearing something you would not normally hear. Stop, pray for her. I had another girl who was in the group. I said, hey, honey, would you come over here and pray for this girl? This little girl puts her hands on her hip. She goes, oh, my gosh, I feel bones moving around, right? And so I thought I'd never see her again. She's at my church. Our youth group is going to go on this tour called Excursion. And she comes into my church and she goes, Mr. Goff, do you remember me? I'm like, no, honey, I have a hard time at my age remembering my own name. And she said, you prayed for me at that camp. And I said, so what happened? And she goes, well, she's going through the story. She's going to tell the story. And she's going to go to the doctor at the end of the camp. She's going to go to the doctor. She's going to feel tears on the back of her head. She's lying down on an operating table. And she's going to get ready and get examined. And she feels tears or something, water on the back of her neck. She looks up at the doctor and goes, is everything okay? Because usually when you're feeling tears and the doctor crying on you, that's not usually a good thing, right? It's that bad? And the doctor's in amazement. It's like, honey, what did you do? She goes, I was prayed for. Why? She goes, everything in your pelvic area is healed. I don't know what you did. And the reason I'm showing you this one, because it involves several different things. Because she's going to lead the doctor to Jesus. Bonus. I believe healing should bring people into the kingdom of God, not just be an event. And it was just an operation of a word of knowledge. None of our videos work, so if we struck out on the one, it's always awkward when things don't work. So, and if that doesn't work, then I'm just going to go on and start speaking. Well, it's an interruption, so let's go on, man. Let's not worry about it. So and there's another guy here I wanted to show you a video of a guy. I'm not going to play that one because I believe... Yeah, hit the button. Yeah. Okay, it's not working. I wanted to show you this one because this is a guy, strike two. See? So just forget it. If you can put the picture up of the guys from Azusa Street, that would be great. That was a guy at a four-square camp. And a lot of times we have the stigma like, okay, you're the guy that does that. And this guy in the video that I was going to show you was a guy, came in braces on his legs. Just somebody in the camp is going to pray for him. He's going to take his braces off, had MS, hasn't been able to run for the last 10 years. His braces are off. And the guy was like Forrest Gump, like the whole rest of the camp, right? He's like, run, I can run. And it was just kind of cool. Anyways, so I won't go on that. How do we get this thing about healing? Because I'm a pastor, you guys are pastors, and we see healings all the time. And a lot of times in the pastoral context is we always try to come up or at least try to make excuses of like, why do people get healed, other people don't get healed? How does this roll? Foursquare. You're going to see these guys here. And in this is a picture of Azusa Street. That guy, the black guy down there, is a guy named William Seymour. Now, he is the epicenter. He's the one systemic that we're going to get our theology, our doctrine of healing. And he's going to do some crazy things. If you've studied Azusa Street, you're going to see William Seymour pray for limbs to come back all the time. You're going to see, like, at Azusa Street, you're going to see, like, there's one little old lady there who would come in and people would have bad teeth, 1906, and she would just pray and laugh because she'd see teeth grow back and she'd pray for each person until their teeth came back. Cancers are covered up. But my favorite William Seymour story is a man was injured in an industrial accident. His arm was literally tore off. And William Seymour would do this all the time. People with prosthetic legs, he'd say, can you take that leg off, that prosthetic leg off, because it's easier for Jesus to grow out a leg without that prosthetic limb on. And so, but my favorite one is a guy was injured in an industrial accident, it tore out his arm, so he had this gaping gash kind of pivot, kind of hole, cavity in his shoulder. And William Seymour said, take it off. And he starts to pray, and an arm grows out. And it starts growing out. Now, I don't know about you guys. I'd be happy with a nub. He got a nub, you know. But William Seymour doesn't quit praying until he gets a nub, he gets an elbow, he gets a wrist, he gets a hand. And this is what amazes me about this story. He doesn't quit praying till the fingernails on his hands are grown back. And so I'm only saying this because sometimes we just stop short of seeing what God wants to do. Sometimes we have this theology like God heals instantly. No, that's not true. Mark chapter 4, Jesus is going to pray for a blind man. And I love the story. I wish I was there. I'm kind of a visual person. But in the story, Jesus is going to get some spittle, put it in the mud. And I always wonder what the blind guy was doing. He's like, hey, Jesus, what are you doing? And so he's going to take the spittle, put it in the mud, put it on the guy's eyes, and he's going to take it off, and he's saying, what do you see? And the man says, I see men that look like trees. And the Bible says Jesus prayed again. And so many of us think that this instant stuff, we'll get into this theology, but that's William Seymour. The guy to the right of him is a guy named John G. Lake. Now, if you don't know who John G. Lake is, in his time, he would have been as a billionaire. He was so wealthy and did all these stock things. But John G. Lake would see amazing miracles. One of the things that he would do, he'd take a scientific approach. He would go into a lab on a petri dish. He'd have malaria. And he'd say, in the name of Jesus, malaria die. And malaria would die as scientists are watching the malaria. What did that look like? Oh, no, it's Jesus. That's John G. Lake, okay? Now, the guy in the middle here, this is the guy. His name is F.F. Bosworth. And I got you some books here. And he's going to write really the theology for Pentecostals. Atonement theology. And this is the dude. This is the guy that Amy Sibley McPherson is going to glean from. And you know Amy's ministry. If you've been to Angela's Temple, there's the 500 room, and there's crutches and braces as trophies, as I hope you're going to have. We actually keep a... We want people to get medically verified, right? Like people, hey, don't quit taking your medicine until you get medically verified. But we have a book of just the miracles that God's doing. And I want you guys to have a 500 room. I want you guys to have a journal and record it so you can show, like, I know God heals. I will call it like living stones, because when I look at my congregation, I look around and I'm like, there's Leonard Lumbee. That guy had complete organ failure. And he hangs out with me. He hangs out with me. He was on death's bed. This is how much faith I had on this one, right? I was literally planning the funeral with his wife and a rub-a-dub-dub prayer, and he got up, and it was pretty amazing, right? When you see blind eyes open up, it's always like this. It's always like this. It's you get this moment where the person is doing this, and they're looking around. I was in Brazil, and this guy's like, he's had his optic nerve severed because of cancer, so he's blind. And he starts doing this. He's like, is this room yellow? I'm like, yes, sir, this room is yellow, right? We're just down in Brazil, prayed from a woman that was blind from birth. And the same reaction. You just see this, like, looking around like, I can see clearly now. The rain has gone. No. So F.F. Bosworth's the guy we're going to get our healing theology from. And it's really based in Isaiah 53. It's the suffering servant. You're familiar with this. And it's what's called in theology, atonement theology. So if I was going to ask you guys right now, what did Jesus do on Calvary? What was it all about? And for most evangelicals, Jesus came to this earth, he died for my sins. But what else, right? Or let me put it another way. Is the church for earth or is the church for heaven? Because if the church was for earth, right, or the church is for heaven, you go, Jesus, come into my life. Boom. Moses, what's up? You see, right? But when you get born again, he leaves you in Seattle. He leaves you in Great Falls, Montana, and places like that. And so let me read this to you so you get this idea of the attitude and tenacity that we're coming against this kingdom of darkness. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we were healed. Now, by his stripes, we were healed. So in atonement theology is this sense of, hey, man, I am going to preach hard. You need to come into the kingdom of God. I'm going to preach. You need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But let me ask you a question, because I've had people who will bicker with me on atonement, right? They're like, hey, well, you know, not everyone gets healed. On a Sunday morning, you know there's people in your congregation, and you, I'm sure, lay out a crazy message, a spirit of conviction in that room. Does everyone respond? And isn't the will of the Lord that none perish? Right? So in atonement theology, you're going to see these people like Smith Wigglesworth. Wow. Like when you read the stories about Smith, you're thinking, this guy's a nut. Like he'll take sick babies and kick them back to the mom, and he'll walk into a dead person. You can imagine this back in the days of the mortuaries that we have today. They put the dead people on the table. He walks into the room, takes a dead woman, dead grandma, and in the name of Jesus, live, throws her up against the wall. She slides down. I'd be like, is that your friend? Like, who is this guy, right? And he'll do it again. In the name of Jesus, rise. And she slides down a second time. In the name of Jesus, live. And on the third time, she lives. When Smith kicks that baby back, she's completely healed. Now, what is the deal on that? See, you do what you believe. And what Smith believes is that by the stripes of Jesus, I have been made whole. There's a war going on. And the best way to say this in theology is called theodicy. Why do bad things happen to people? And what's going on? I'm not an open theist, but a guy named Greg Boyd is, and he writes a book called God at War. And it's the story of these two kingdoms in clash, Guess what? When you hear we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness, we're in the middle of this cosmic battle, and we're ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Are you with me on that? And so anybody can do this. I have five daughters. That alone will get a guy praying. And with my five daughters, like they're just normal kids. And we send my daughter Isabel, who now is a goalie at Whitman College in lacrosse. And when she was 13, we sent her down to Brazil. I'm FaceTiming her. Honey, what did you see today? She's like, Dad, I prayed for three deaf people today that got healed. She's 13. She's a spaz. She's just like, oh, you know. She's like the original Joe Cocker. Oh. I go, you saw three deaf people get healed, honey. Is that the coolest thing you've ever seen in your life? She goes, no, I saw something cooler than that today, Dad. I go, you saw something cooler than three deaf people getting their hearing back. Like, what does that even look like? This is 13-year-old language. She goes, I prayed for a girl with pterodactyl hands today, Dad. I go, you prayed for the girl with pterodactyl hands? What does that mean? She goes, you know those little deformed hands? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, Dad, as I prayed, they grew out in front of me and I saw her hands open up. See, when you do the stuff, it changes people. We're in a time and a period right now, like the old isn't working, but if we do the things that Jesus does, John 14:12, greater things shall you do. And it almost sounds arrogant or presumptuous, like, I can do this stuff? Yes! He died just not to say, hey, you've died and one day you're going to get with me. He died so you can be an embodiment of Him, that He never leaves you nor forsakes you. That's a spiritual reality that I think we need to become aware of. I'm a chaplain for the police. And so we're out doing a call, meth call. This guy's in the street howling, right? I wasn't feeling like, there's no need to fear. Captain Spiritual is here. Wasn't feeling it. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm thinking, I got to get out of here. I got to, you know, preach tomorrow. And as soon as we come up, this guy's tweaking, manifesting, however you want to say it. And as soon as I come up, he's immediate sobriety. Whoa. Why is he here? How come he's here? How come he's here? I go, you know why I'm here. Who are you going to call? And so I want you to get this, that a third of the ministry of Jesus was devoted to healing. A third of the ministry was devoted to Jesus. So you're talking about, what should I do? A third of the ministry was devoted to healing with Jesus. And so healing is this thing that's in the atonement. Take one of those books. It's the foundation of Pentecostal theology that by His stripes we made whole. And you got to get that thing inside of you. I get this weird thing all the time. Well, you know, really, sickness is from God, and it's to teach people a lesson, right? God brings sickness on people. In James 1:17, James says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation, no shadow of change. So let me ask you a question. How is it possible for a good God, a good Father, to send sickness from heaven when there's no sickness in heaven? Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You go to heaven, you aren't going to go, hey, this is awesome. The tennis balls are covered with Teflon. It doesn't roll that way. Or thinking about it in the context of a parent. Anybody here with kids? Hey, I got a great idea. I'm a loving father, loving mother. I'm going to teach my kids a lesson. I'm going to give them terminal cancer. This is going to be fun. Are you with me on that? Sickness is not in heaven, and God can't send sickness from heaven because it's not in heaven. It can't happen, right? And so, and think about this. Well, it's God's will that they're sick. Then think about this logically. If it's God's will that they're sick, and you're praying that they get healed, then you're praying against the will of God, right? So why even pray if it's God's will? Are you with me on that? Does that make sense? Because a lot of us, we want to come up with excuses, like, why do people get healed? I don't know, right? So how is that possible, right, when something happens? Sickness comes from the fall in Genesis chapter 3. And you know the story. There's a curse that enters in. Now authority has been transferred. Authority has been transferred from Adam and Eve to Satan. He's now called the prince of this world, right? He's the prince of this world. He's the power of the air that dwells, right? I believe this personally. I don't know where you guys roll. But I believe we have a deemed authority from heaven at the cross. And I'll get into that in just a little bit, right? But until Jesus comes back, Satan is the ruler of this world and calling it. God, I think, gets a bad rap every day for the things that Satan does. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus has come to do what? Life, and life abundantly, right? So if you put it this way, anything that steals, kills, and destroys is not in the kingdom. Anything that steals, kills, and destroys is not in the kingdom. Right? Life and abundantly is what the Lord brings, right? So it becomes clear in how this operates when I look at the ministry of Jesus. John 6:38, Jesus said, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me, right? So Jesus did nothing, never did anything unless He saw His Father doing this, right? And so that's an amazing thing, because when we look at the start of Jesus' ministry, if you have a Bible, Matthew chapter 4, 23 and 24, Jesus has spent 40 days in the desert, comes out baptized, calls his 12 disciples. And he's going to start his ministry off in Matthew chapter 23-24. It says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues. That's an amazing thing, by the way, right? Synagogues would be like the local church. Where does Jesus like to start off things? Local church. He's an advocate of that. Man, it just bugs me. People leave. I'm going to watch things. There's something about the local church that Jesus, that's where he starts off on. And announcing the good news of the kingdom. Now, this is important because when we talk in evangelicalism, we talk about the gospel message, the good news. And that usually looks like, hey, God so loved the world. He creates us for relationship with him. Sinners enters into the world. We're separated from God. But God has a plan of redemption. You've got to be born again. You get saved, right? But what Jesus talks about is the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. Why? Because there's healing in the kingdom. And that's what he preaches. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their disease or sickness or disease, or if they're demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them. So let's just get out the start. When people were brought to Jesus, how many people did Jesus heal? Healed everybody. Healed everybody that was brought to him. That's awesome, right? In Matthew 10, Jesus is going to delegate his disciples, and he's going to call out his disciples. Now, there's a theology for what's called super apostles. The 12 were extraordinary. You know, can I just say they're ordinary men? Look at Peter, right? Are you with me on that? God loves to empower the ordinary to do the extraordinary. Or let me put it what Francis Chan says. You can't have Christianity without miracles. Acts 2:22, God attests to his son through signs, wonders, and miracles. And we're ambassadors for that, right? So in Matthew 10, starting in verse 1, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority. He gives us authority. He has given you authority. Not a feeling, not an emotion. He gives us exousia. And exousia is like a power from a government. So if you were to drive today, you're going down the 405, you're going 110, you're late, you're trying to get back to Southern California, boom, I'm drove here. And you see behind you these lights, blue, right kind of lights are going on. What are you going to do? Drive faster. No. You're going to pull over. Why would you pull over? It's just a car with lights on. That car has authority, and you have authority delegated from heaven. The question is, are the lights on? Are you using the authority that God has given you, right? And so in Matthew 10, 1, Jesus gave his 12 disciples together, gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease. And then he's going to go about and down in verse 7 and 8, And he's going to say, go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cure those with leprosy. Cast out demons. Give as freely as you receive. Now, this is part of our inheritance. This is part of our upgrades. We're a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You agree with that? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. There's a hardwiring for the supernatural when you get born again. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. That's normative Christianity, New Testament Christianity. The Holy Spirit, not a force, is a person. In John 16:13, he says, he will tell you things to come. That's kind of cool, right? A lot of the times, the question is, are we listening? Are we willing to take risk? I always say this, little risk, little reward. Great risk, great reward. I like what Randy Clark says. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And you're not going to see this until if your identity is caught in, like, what will people think if this doesn't happen? Your identity shouldn't be caught up on your productivity. Your identity should be as a son or daughter of the king, right? Otherwise, you're going to get messed up. If that doesn't mess you up, I'll mess you up. So he gave authority, Mark 16:17-18, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands if you live in West Virginia. And if they drink any deadly poison. Sorry, Trey. I'm there with you, buddy. I'm there with you. We'll practice later. Trey's a good friend. In my name, they'll speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. They'll drink any deadly poisons. It will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So is it God's will that people are sick? And Jesus said, ask the leper. And there's only one time we even see anything remotely about the will of God. A leper will come up to Jesus, and he'll ask him, Lord, if you are willing, in Matthew chapter 8, Lord, if you are willing that I'm healed. And Jesus says, essentially say, I am willing. It is my will that you're healed, right? It's the only place that we have that's even remotely associated with, well, it's the Lord's will thing on this, right? And so Jesus never talked like, well, son, you know, God moves in mysterious ways. He never talked like that. He said, he commands healing over people. And that's kind of this religious thing. We try to get this whole theodicy thing down, like, I don't get it, right? And this is the only place in the Bible that that's even remotely associated with. And so I want you to know what the Bible says about healing so that you do this. In Acts 10:38, the Bible says that God anointed Jesus with the power to force back Satan in people's lives. That's one of the things you have the ability to cast out demons. And doing deliverance doesn't need to be weird. I'm going to got some brochures up here that kind of based on a guy named Pablo Batari out of the Argentine revival. He has a 10-step method. 3 steps, deliverance, really quick. I know this isn't a context on deliverance, but it's so easy. 3 questions you ask somebody who's demonized. Do you want to be free? Will you renounce what you're involved with? And will you receive Christ? But they say no to any of those 3 questions. Don't go on. The problem you're going to face is when you ask them to renounce stuff, they're like, I don't have any problem at all. Right? I just got a call, 2 o'clock in the morning. Pastor Nick, you need to come by here. These guys that grew up in church, they're partiers now, right? So you need to come by here now. I go, what's going on? Mike's on the floor and a voice is coming out of him. I'm like, what's it saying? He's ours now. Is that a problem? No. And they knew enough at church to go, oh, hey, we're going to anoint the walls with oil. So they go around the house, they start anointing the walls with oil, and a voice comes out of them. What are you putting on my walls? And so next day I came by, hey, because it wasn't urgent. The same thing he had, he's going to have in the morning when he wakes up and I wake up. Right? And so I ask him, hey, do you want to be free? Yes, I do. Are you willing to renounce any open doors? He goes, I don't have any. And so you have to interview him. Neil Anderson has 7 steps. That's a good thing to look into, to go, it's kind of a survey of things. And I started surveying when we were striking out. Finally, I had a word of knowledge. I was like, has anybody else in your family had this? He goes, yeah, my grandma had this thing that my mom had it. And yeah, we've been using Ouija boards to talk to it. I gave him a little pitchfork. You're demonized. A little sticker there. And it was real easy. It wasn't confrontative. It was just real easy. But God has given you authority over that. And ladies and gentlemen, our culture is opening a lot of doors. And so you as a pastor, you're gonna experience, if you're not already experiencing, probably more demonized people with sex stuff, drug stuff, occult stuff than ever before. But can I just say, man, I love leading people in the occult to the Lord. It's awesome. I just led this guy to the Lord. Probably telling too many stories to tell me to shut up. This guy came in, prophetic word, out on the streets. Right? He came by the next day, he has a box, and in the box is the Book of Shadows and Crystal Ball and all this stuff. He goes, hey, I'm a Wiccan warlock. And he goes, the thing that you have is more powerful than we have. And so he gave me this box of stuff. So I sold it on eBay for our building campaign. It was cool. Right? And it was real easy. He came to Christ, and it was awesome. And so I just believe that Jesus loves to heal people and take demonized people and set them free. And he's called us to do that. And it doesn't have to be weird. We can be super naturally supernatural in doing this thing. So the Bible says that God is the blesser. Satan is the damner, right? In John 10:10, Jesus has come to give us life and life more abundantly. The Bible says that Jesus came to do the will of his Father. And in that, he healed people. I don't do anything that I don't see my Father doing. So that only tells me when Jesus was healing all that were brought to him, the Father was healing all that were brought to him. When you're healing people, it's what the Father is doing. Because the Father loves to take people out of captivity and out of pain, and he likes to set them free, right? The Bible says that God's one performing the miracles. So what's my point on this? It's not about you. Can I just say this? I was with this guy, Randy Clark. We were working on our doctorate. It was a 14-hour day. Now, if you know me, my friends know me, I'm ADD, okay? I'm like, I'm the reason they invented Ritalin, okay? We got to do something for this kid. So 14 hours in class is not energizing to me, okay? And then Randy Clark's like, hey, Nick, we hear you see a lot of cancer healed. Would you mind praying for this professor? She has stage 4 cancer. I'm like, yeah, I get to hang out with Randy. That's going to be awesome. Now, this is a guy who sees millions of people healed. He wrote his doctoral dissertation on metal coming out of people's body, right? So that's how he rolls. And I'm going to hang out with this guy. So we prayed for this woman. And if it was me, at that period of time at night, it was 10 at night, Ubba-da-dub, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, heal ya, amen, let's go to bed. But for 2 hours, this is what I saw. For 2 hours, I saw this man with some of the most compassion that I've ever seen in somebody's eye, just the love of Christ ministering to this woman. I was humbled not by what he said, I was humbled by his actions. You ever think about this? And I got to confess this to you guys. I was in theological denial, and I don't know if you mean that, but if I was going to exegete 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, I'd be right at 1 Corinthians 12 and right at 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Pursue love, right? Concerning spiritual gifts, I want you to be informed. And I'd come right over to 1 Corinthians 14, 1, right? Pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. Hallelujah, right? But I leave 1 Corinthians 13 out. And then I read Matthew 7. It says, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, cast out demons, and do all these others, raise the dead? And Jesus says, get behind me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And I'm thinking, how can that possibly be? But 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, if you don't love, you don't know God. And that puts 1 Corinthians 13. Love is the sandwich between the gifts. Does that make sense? And so the Bible talks a lot about handing out God's word. When I ask, why did Jesus come to this earth? Well, Luke 19, 10, he came to seek and to save the lost. You guys believe that, right? You're passionate. I want to see people come into the kingdom of God. We just heard Nick the other night talk about how we need to go out, right? He came to testify of truth. There's a lot of fake news today, but Jesus claims, I'm testifying the truth. I'm not a way, as culture says, but I'm the way, the truth, the life. And he came to testify of that. He came to destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3, 8. He came to destroy the works of the devil. His kingdom brings healing to people. And unless we as pastors take the risk, not about our reputation, but I'm going to start praying for the sick. And I'll give you a methodology on how to do that. But it's part of what Jesus came to do, destroy the works of the devil. And he came to destroy death in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. And Jesus never went against the will of the Father. John 5, 19. So Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. That can only mean one thing. That harassment, oppression, it comes from the devil. It doesn't come from God. There's only one example where Satan will come and wants to mess with Job, but it's not God releasing that. So is sickness in heaven? No, it's not, right? It isn't. We've come to do that. We've come to bring the healing of the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you a methodology of how to bring healing into your ministry and just how to do that, okay? I'm going to go over and I always recycle other people's stuff, but John Wimber, if you remember John Wimber, founder of the Vineyard, taught at Fuller Seminary. And in Fuller Seminary, he taught signs and wonders and miracles. And he has a method, a five-step prayer method that I'm going to give to you to help train your people. When we came to the church we're at now in Great Falls, Montana, which is weird because I grew up on the beaches of Southern California. I told the Lord, Lord, I will go anywhere you want me to go as long as it's near a beach. Right? But we see it. We have a culture of the miraculous. How did it get that way? When we came into the culture that we're at now, it was probably the least Holy Spirit-oriented place I've ever been in. When I talked and I did an interview with the council, I go, how do you guys roll with the Holy Spirit? And they said, we're Holy Spirit light. I didn't know there was a Holy Spirit light. Tastes great, less filling, I don't know. It's Holy Spirit light. I didn't know what that meant. And so I started to talk about the Holy Spirit, and people were like, their body language was like this. Like, people were so defensive, and I felt so much pushback in the pulpit that one Sunday, as I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, I just started laughing. I just busted up. No one else was laughing, of course, and they know that I just laugh at my own jokes now anyways. And I go, you guys should see yourself right now. I go, I would be better off talking about tithing and tithing to me than I would about the Holy Spirit. And so I said, Lord, what's the strategy that you have to bring transformation to this place? Because it wasn't there. But we always want to look at the potential of we're not here yet, but this is where we're going to be. And this is going to be a church that sees signs, wonders, and miracles. So when the Bible says don't despise small beginnings, we always want like big things, big flash. That's our culture, American culture. But in kingdom culture, don't despise small beginnings. Kingdom culture is faithful in little. Kingdom culture, if you're faithful of the little I give you, I'm going to give you 10 cities. I'm going to give you authority over 10 cities. And so the principle of that is, if you're faithful with what God gives you, He gives you more authority. And if you want to see this stuff operate in your churches, you got to be faithful with the little. And you go, hey, listen. So we backdoored events. We're like, we're going to bring these speakers and we're going to do this. But we're committed to this thing to see it happen. And now it's like, it's awesome. I don't do most of the stuff. That's even better, right? We saw a lady stage 4 cancer, tough rancher chick, right? She's like the Marlboro lady, right? Stage 4 cancer. They give her like 15 days to live, completely healed. That is awesome, right? Medically verified. So when you come and approach somebody for healing, what do? And this is the 5-step model I'll give you. You can have one of these as a gift from me. We train our prayer teams with this. This is in our culture today. It's a 5-step method. Is God in the method? No, but he wants you to slow down and take time, right? Not just like, hey, Lord, heal them, but I want to do that. So number one in the 5-step method is I'm going to interview a person. Hey, what's going on with you? How long have you had this? Do you have a doctor's diagnosis on this? And interview the people and find out during that period of time, what pain level are you in? Now, anybody been in the emergency room or anything like that? Right? And they always have like the happy face, which you wish you're on, because you're more like the sad face, right? Well, I forget there's a medical term for that scale. But when you talk to people, ask them, what pain are you in right now? I was doing a 4-square pastor thing in Missoula, and this one pastor was like, well, that's just you, Nick. You do this stuff. I'm like, bro, anybody can do this stuff. Word of knowledge. I'll talk to you about what that is in just a bit for healing. But I had a word of knowledge. I go, is your wife sick? She goes, my wife's been in chronic pain for the last 20 years, whatever. And I go, is she here right now? She goes, yeah. I go, hey, come on, come here. What pain level are you in? I'm a level 8. How long have you been that way? 20 years. And we started to pray. Robin, my wife, and I, we started to pray. And we keep interviewing, right? We're going to keep going back, right? What's going on? She goes, I feel heat. I feel energy. I feel icy cold in some of those videos I was going to play. I feel like icy cold going through my body. And you hear them say stuff like that, right? We kept praying, what pain level are you on? I'm a level 6. We pray, what pain level are you on? I'm a level 4. What pain level are you on? I'm at a level 2. We keep praying because we want to see her go to 0. What pain level are you on? I'm a level 0. The husband is so juiced. He's like talking to the concierge in the hotel. My wife just got healed. She was sick for 20 years. My wife got healed. Can you guys believe that? That's the most fire he's been on, right? So you want to interview, right? Like, well, you know, what's your name? How can I pray with you? What are your prayer needs, right? I'm going to pray a prayer selection. Now, when I talk about atonement theology, you're going to see Smith Wigglesworth pray command prayers. Now, let me just back up. I can't command anything, all right? It's not in me. But the heart attitude is this. I'm an ambassador for the kingdom of God. I'm coming in Jesus' name, and I'm one of his. And so as an ambassador, you have full diplomatic authority of the kingdom that you represent, right? Don't mess with me. I'm the ambassador. I'm not going to have to go through security. I'm the ambassador. I'm the ambassador for the king of all kings. And so command prayer is, I come in the name of Jesus, and I command cancer to be gone off your body now in Jesus' name. That's a command prayer. I'm a chaplain for the police. I'm doing a drive along with the FTO, field training officer. He's a tough guy. I'm getting ready to hop in his patrol car. He goes, listen, man, I don't want to talk any effing thing about Jesus at all. Do you get that? Yeah. I got that. That's how cops talk. Sorry. He comes in my office 2 weeks later. He's crying. I'm like, Steve, what's up? He goes, my mom had melanoma cancer, whatever type that was. She died at my age. I just got back from the oncologist. They give me about 30 days to live. It's systemic throughout my whole body. And we pray for him. We just command cancer to be out of your body now in the name of Jesus. We're laying hands on him in James 5. Why do we lay hands on people? Something happens when we lay hands on people. The theology of that, right? Paul's talking to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the spiritual gift that was given to you through the laying on of the hands of the elders. Lay hands on the sick, James chapter 5. Moses lays hands on Joshua that he would have wisdom. There's something about laying on of hands. What's up with that? I don't know. The Bible says lay hands on the sick. We're laying hands on them. We're anointing with oil, and we're commanding in the name of Jesus. He leaves my office. He calls me back 3 days later. He has an appointment for the oncologist. Pastor Dick, Steve, what's up? I'm having the best effing day of my life. Why? They're going to send me to Seattle. Why? They can't figure out what's going on with my body, and there's oncologists there that they might be able to better explain it. I go, what's going on with your body? I don't have a trace of cancer at all in my body. Why do we bring healing to the sick? Because that one guy now becomes an evangelist. I once was lost, I'm now saved. I had stage 4 cancer, and I got healed of it. And let me tell you what Jesus does. Is it, right? You get how this rolls? When you see somebody like that, they're like, whoa, they're a walking billboard. Well, like, you know, I got healed by Jesus. I don't even get this. So you want to interview, you want to command, or you can petition prayer. And a petition prayer looks like this on stage 2. Lord, I ask that you would bring healing to this person now, right? And so I'm going to petition the Lord, Father, bring healing on this. Command, I pray, command right now. I can't command anything, but we're coming in Jesus' name. And then I'm going to do prayer ministry, right? I'm going to audibly ask, I'm going to say this, come Holy Spirit over this person right now. Lord, I just invite you to be with this person right now. I want you to pray, and I want you to pray with your eyes open. I get flack all the time. I'm always praying with my eyes open. I do tons of stuff with YWAM, and I'm out in the streets. I don't want to close my eyes when I'm out in the streets, okay? Where's my wallet? Right? Keep your eyes open. Why? Because you're going to see what's going on with that person that's there. They might be tearing up. They might see. But keep your eyes open while you're praying for that person. And keep soft voice. You're going to pray over them, right? Be loving to them, right? Try different kinds of prayer. And just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have a video I would have showed you of two kids in Lanafala, India. And they're kids, just normal kids. They're going to go to Lanafala, India. And I always like showing this video because when you listen to them pray, there's a guy, most likely a stroke. He can't speak. He's paralyzed. And they're going to pray for him. And these guys are all excited. Like, yeah, we pray for this guy in Lanafala, India. And we're praying for him. And we pray for him like 45 minutes. And his hand starts moving like this. And he hadn't been able to move his hand like in 3 years, you know, and his hand starts moving like this. And then so we're getting excited. And so we lift him up and his leg's all wobbly. And we start walking with him and his leg went from wobbly to he started walking and he starts moving his hands. And then we took oil and we put it on his tongue. And the guy goes, that tastes horrible. And he started to speak. And this guy, and they're so, but when you put it together, they had been praying for that guy for 2 hours. 2 hours, they're praying for that guy. And so I just say that because that guy, when they came back to that village last year, has his own cell church now. As a result, I once was sick and now I'm healed. I once was paralyzed. I couldn't speak. Everybody in the village knew that Jesus overcame that. And the same God that's in Lanafala is in Seattle. And he's in Indiana. And he's in the remotest parts, as far as New York. He's out there. And so you want to keep doing prayer ministry, and then you're going to stop and review. That's the third thing, a fourth thing. I'm going to interview, I'm going to prayer ministry, I'm going to prayer selection, prayer ministry. The fourth thing is I'm going to stop and re-interview, right? And you're going to ask him. Now, when I'm doing that in that re-interview, I'm going to ask him to do something they haven't done before, okay? Hey, man, your back's messed up. Can you move your back, right? And it's kind of cool when you see this because I had a word of knowledge. I'll talk about that. YWAM. And I go, yeah, I'm just sensing. And you see Leslie Kegel do this, and I'll explain to you what Leslie does and how that operates, so you guys can do this, okay? Word of knowledge. And so I had a word of knowledge. Somebody has a bad shoulder, and this YWAMer kid's like, that's me. What pain level are you in? I'm in an 8. Okay, I want you to do something you haven't done before. I want you to move your arm. So he starts moving his arm, and he's doing this. And I go, what pain level are you in? He goes, I'm a 5. What pain level are you in? I'm a 0, right? And when you see their eyes like bug out. It's just cool to watch. It's just cool. It just never gets old, right? And then I'm going to do post-prayer suggestions. So I'm going to pray as long as I can or as long as that person is willing to let me pray, I'm going to pray. And if they don't get healed there, I'm going to have them back again. I'm going to pray some more. One of my daughters was in Uganda with YWAM. They're going to pray for a guy who's blind for 7 days. Every day they come in the village, they pray for him. Every day they pray in the village, they're going to pray for him. On the 7th day, his eyes opened up, okay? So you don't want to let up. People are sick. And let me just tell you a few things not to do, okay? And this is the theology, word of faith people, right? They'll say, now faith is a factor in this. Sometimes it's your faith. Sometimes it's the faith on the person, right? Jesus is going to say, daughter, your faith has made you well. So there's something about faith and there's something about our faith, right? There's just other times it has a word of faith theology would say, well, the reason you don't get healed is you don't have enough faith, which I'm quick to report back because I'm sarcastic. Then you pray for me, and if I don't get healed, it's your faith. That's how I roll. Right? Don't, you know, we're trying to come up with these formulas, right? There's sin in your life, and there might be sin. As you're interviewing somebody, you're going through the prayer thing, you go, the Holy Spirit might say, do you have unforgiveness? Unforgiveness, Ephesians 4:26, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down upon your anger and give the devil a foothold. So sometimes people, Christians, will get better. And isn't that an oxymoron, right? You know, jumbo shrimp, military intelligence, mean Christians, right? Because love is kind, right? So you want to interview with those people and roll that through. So re-interview and do those things and keep praying until they say something. Now, word of knowledge for healing, okay? Word of knowledge and healing looks like this. You'll see Leslie Kegel all the time get up, okay? And he'll get a word of knowledge. I got a friend of mine. His dad is a Foursquare pastor in Hamilton, Montana. And in Hamilton, Montana, he left Hamilton, Montana, went to International House of Prayer in Pasadena, and he's the School of Supernatural Ministry in Pasadena. And so I was hanging out with him, and he's like, and this is like 10 years ago, and he's like, Nick, he goes, you're probably like one of the most prophetic people that I know. I go, did you say pathetic? No. He goes, you're probably one of the most prophetic people I know. He goes, how come you don't see miracles? And I go, well, I do, but like not a frequency. And he goes, I go, James, how do you do it? He goes, before you go out and minister, ask the Lord who he wants to heal that day. Now, you can ask the Lord who he wants to heal. You can ask the Lord for names. You can ask the Lord, Lord, tell me stuff. John 16:13, the Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. So as you're praying, and I know you get prayed over your sermons and you're praying, God, tell me who this week you want to heal. First time I ever did this. So I show up on a Sunday morning, place is packed, first service, and I go, hey, I was praying today. Never done this before. You got to take a risk. And the Lord told me that there's some people out here with immune deficiencies. And that's kind of general. The Lord told me there's two women out here with immune deficiencies. I don't do this now, but I did that first day. And if that's you, stand up. So a woman stands up way in the back, and right where Myra is sitting down here in the first row, epicenter, everybody sees it, a first-time visitor, top chick, she stands up. Now, I want you to see what's going on here. She's standing up. Everybody in the church can see that woman, and she's very vocal. She looks down at her friend, what's up with this? I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'll never do this again. What's up with this? Honey, just praying for you. No, but what's up with this? Honey, he's just praying for you. Then she says in front of everybody, well, why? No, what's up with this? Well, honey, I'm not following what you mean. Why did they turn the air conditioner on me? Honey, they didn't turn the air conditioner on. Well, there's wind blowing all over my body right now. What's up with this? She got completely healed of fibromyalgia. She was so jacked, she went home and got her truck driver husband, doesn't know the Lord, going, my truck driver husband, he has a bad neck, bad back. If God can heal my fibromyalgia, he can heal my husband's back. Can he? We're like, yeah, I can. We pray, he gets healed, he gets saved. Two people one day come to Christ from healing. And this is the funniest part, because I think God laughs. I'll never forget her name. Because you know what her name is? Wendy. Her name is Wendy. So how does healing operate? It's the King's bread, I believe. And I believe God wants to empower us today to do this. I've asked a friend of mine, if you guys don't know, there are some young leaders that are in our movement right now that I really feel special that we need to highlight and celebrate. Caleb Brown was right up here. I don't know where he went, but Caleb Brown, an incredibly gifted guy that does this stuff. Ben Dixon is another one. And Ben, I want you to come up here, and I want to minister over you guys. I should probably ask for questions, but let me introduce Ben to you first. Ben has written a book called Hearing God, because when we come to, and Ben travels around the world, it's, I don't know how many languages your book is in now. Four languages. I have a hard enough time with English. But Ben is a guy who you want to get to know. Caleb is another guy in our movement that you want to get to know. They do this stuff. They live this stuff. They would love to come out and minister with you guys. I want to open up questions to you guys, and then I just feel like I want to pray for you guys. Can we do that today? I don't know how you want to do it, but are there any questions? Yes, sir.
I have a little question, comment. I've been wrestling with this issue for a while because I feel like God's calling me into a deeper walk in the healing ministry. But I was at a meeting with Jane Darnell, or
Jane Darnell.
And after the meeting, I had been to the Angels Temple, the museum there, and I saw the crutches.
Right.
And the stories of how they would bring the ambulances there and they go home empty. So I asked her, I said, when you were praying with Amy, did some people get healed? A few? A lot? All of them? And she kind of looked up in the space and then she looked back at me like, what a stupid question. And she said, well, everybody got healed. And I don't see us experiencing that.
Yeah, I think I would question whether everybody got healed that Amy prayed for. That would be pretty awesome. I know that I get to hang out with guys like Roland Baker in their ministry in Mozambique. They planted 6,000 churches. They have prayed for over 400 people to come back from the dead, but they don't always see everybody get healed. Randy Clark, an incredible ministry, thousands and tens of thousands of people healed, but he doesn't see everybody get healed. He actually does a teaching, but if you look on YouTube, it's called The Agony of Defeat, and it's a great one to read. He just co-wrote a book on, and I can't think of the name of the book, that deals with what do we do when people don't get healed. If you're Kenneth Haganite, he actually writes a book on how to maintain healing, because I've seen people get healed and fall back. But I don't know. I don't want to question Amy's or everybody got healed. That's Gene.
The question behind it is dealing with the fear of that commitment to say, I believe that God can heal you.
Right.
In the desert.
Yeah. And so I sometimes feel like the guy, like, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, right? And I think we all come in that period of tension. You'll see, like, We all come into times like that's when I started off. It's the thrill of victory. It's the agony of defeat. There's times you're going to hit a home run. You'll see amazing things, blind eyes open. You're hearing me tell stories. But there's not everybody I pray for that gets healed, right? So you need, I would say, persevere. Yes, ma'am.
I was encouraging where John Luther said, when you pray for no one gets healed.
Yeah, yeah.
Many people, some people.
Yeah. That's, and I would totally agree with you. The more people you're going to pray for as you commit to this, you're going to see a lot of people get healed. And but we always have a fear of an ambiguity. It has nothing to do with us. We're ambassadors, right? And so, again, if you take credit for when somebody gets healed, you need to take credit when somebody doesn't get healed. Yes, sir.
You mentioned about just saying something about the word of knowledge.
Yeah.
I
was going to talk about that. So a word of knowledge is a prophetic word. We're hardwired to hear God's voice. Ben's book, I would suggest you getting, but we hear God in a number of different ways. For me, it's 1 Kings 19:11, still small, quiet voice. A lot of times, is this me or is this God? My experience with the prophetic goes back when I was at USC. I was 21 years old. There wasn't a lot of teaching. Probably Dr. Hammond was the only one out there, but I would journal. We're a culture that journals, Wayne Cadera. And this is, I don't know, 40 years ago. I'm journaling. I'm like, Lord, I'm asking the Lord questions. Mark Berkler has a really good book on hearing God's voice through journaling. It's a great book. You should get that book. And it's reproducible if you want to train other people how to hear God's voice. I think Mark Berkler's is one of the best that I've come across on hearing God's voice. But in your journaling time, I started asking the Lord questions. Lord, what do you think of me? And I hear the Lord say, Nick, I love you. I start crying. God, why would you love me? And I started asking God more and more questions as I developed my hearing ear. All the time, there's a guy from YWAM, Lauren Cunningham's book. He's the founder of YWAM, and he writes a book, Is That Really You, God? And we all go through this. Is this me or is this God? And as I progressed in hearing God, there was a guy in my group who I did not like. He was very arrogant. I felt like I heard the voice of the Lord say, Nick, JP has pride in his life. Unless he doesn't repent of his pride, I'm going to take his ministry from him. Which I'm thinking, that is a great word, Lord. And I didn't do anything. And it was like 2 or 3 days later, I get a knock on my door. Who is it? It's JP. Comes in very demonstrative. I have a word from God for you.
Whoa!
Right?
Oh, whoa, whoa.
I'm like, what is it? God is telling me you're getting words for people and not telling the people what the words are. And so I started to laugh. He became indignant. I see nothing funny in this. Like, you will. So a word of knowledge is listening, feeling, sensing, right? So if I'm in a group like this and I'm praying, I would just step out, right? And I'd say, you know, I was praying this morning. I felt like somebody in here, a woman in here has a knee issue. Is there a woman in here right now who has a knee issue? Right over here. So there's two ladies there with a knee issue, three ladies there. And so as I'm doing church, I usually do that. Like right now, what I'm doing now is what I do at church, right? I was in prayer. And keep your hands up with the knee issues. Okay, so thank you, Lord. So thank you, Lord. So how about if I have you guys practice this? Yeah, so why don't you guys do this? Yeah, Randy Clark's book, Finding Victory When It Doesn't Happen. But that's a word of knowledge, but it's real easy, like whether you write or journal. Mark Berkler's book is a real good book on me through journaling and hearing God's voice. And as a pastor, this is reproducible. It's like you will train people how to hear God's voice in journaling. And then as you step out on it, like, you want to be more on-site with insight. So, like, I train a lot of YWAMers. I was just in Portland, Oregon. I'm hanging out. I got a Russian kid. He's ticked. He doesn't believe this stuff. I don't believe anything you've said the whole week. I go, dude, we'll see at least two miracles. Now, that's not pride. I live in Montana, where there are more cows than people. And so we're in Portland, Oregon. I take two steps. I see girls. I'm on the streets. I hope this doesn't offend you. But if I don't want to talk to anybody, I'm on an airplane, what do? I'm a pastor. Shaka taka pa. No. But if I want to minister to somebody on the streets, I go, hey, I do spiritual readings. Can I give you one for free? And 1 Corinthians 14:25, you know, we can go through what prophecy is, but unbeliever will fall on my face. So I go, hey, I do spiritual readings. Can I give you one for free? She goes, we're not English. We don't speak English. I go, what do you speak? We're Russian. I go, this is Sasha. He's Russian. Word of knowledge. Ask her if she was just in a car wreck. She's like, duh, I was just in a car wreck, right? Word of knowledge, car wreck. I'm feeling, sensing that she was in a car wreck. Word of knowledge, right? I'm hearing, feeling, sensing, however God speaks to you, scripture, still small voice. There's just multitude of ways, sensory. Sometimes people with healing are like, ah, my shoulder didn't hurt, now it hurts. There's a lot of different ways that you study that you're going to find out how God speaks. So I go, ask her if she's in a car wreck. If she's in a car wreck, on a 1 to 10, what pain level are you on? I'm in a level 8. I go to Sasha. I go, Sasha, I want you to lay hands on her neck. Praise, and she was healed almost instantly. We take another step down. I see three transients. I see these two guys and one girl. Hey, I do spiritual readings. Can I give you one for free? I start praying over her, and it was like a really accurate word of knowledge. It was like, hey, man, I feel like you've been out on the streets now for 6 months. You have PTSD. Your boyfriend used to beat you, and so it was a really accurate word. She starts, I go, I usually don't do this on the streets. Go, I want you to close your eyes. I'm a grandfather of 5 daughters. I'm a pastor, but this is going to be really cool. And as I started praying for the peace of Jesus, just comes down on her. And she's crying. It was way cool. And then she goes, can I ask you a question? I'm like, yeah. She goes, you got this like strange mystical presence all over you. What is that? I go, it's dandruff. So sir, to answer your question, a word of knowledge is listening to God, whether during a service or during it. But those ladies who stand, that was a word of knowledge that I just gave for your knees. So stand up. I want you guys who just heard this to start praying for those ladies. Thank you, Lord. What? You just got healed right there? And now it is? Oh, okay. Okay, you're good. Pray for that. Pray for them. Ben, what are you feeling, sensing? You got? So anybody with a collarbone, neck, right there. So you stand up. You guys get to do this now. You're pastors. You get to have right hip. Anybody with a right hip? Well, everybody has a right hip, but anybody painting a right hip? Thank you, Lord. Anybody lower back pains? You're the hip there. Okay, thank you, Lord. There's hips over there. So stand up. Man, you guys need a lot of healing. You guys are messed up. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want you guys to get around them and start praying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Pour it out right now. Pour it out right now. Those with the hips, those with the knees, just start moving your knees right now. Father, loose it right now in the name of Jesus. Loose healing now. We just command healing now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For those getting prayed for, don't do the Christian answer thing. I tell people this all the time. I'm praying for the Christian answer. Sometimes Christians will say, I'm all better when we're not. And so don't do that. Be sincere. If it's Jesus, it's Jesus. Let it stand on its own. Thank you, Lord. Have him move to us for those next, Father, just release. Anybody else with a word of knowledge out there? You're feeling, Trey, I felt like you had one. Anybody dealing with depression, heaviness? Anybody with dealing with that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, well it up right now. Father, more. More, Lord, more. More right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody that's getting prayed for, are you feeling better? Anybody feeling better? Anybody feel like you got healed? If you feel like you got healed, raise your hand up. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, well it up. Pour it out right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, how many people, we saw one person over there, you felt like you got healed. Anybody else feel like you got healed? Thank you, Lord. So it's 12:30. Ben and I would like to pray for you guys, but the rest, can we just do this right now? I want you to just put your hands before the Lord. Lord, we just pray right now. Father, I loose right now a gift of healing on this on these men and women of God. Father, I pray, Lord God, that signs and wonders would follow them according to Mark chapter 16. Lord, I pray that they would see the miraculous follow their ministries, that would invade into their church. That, Father, they would take risk. That, Lord, that it would be about your kingdom and not about them. I pray courage, which is not the absence of fear, but walking through that. Release courage now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.